Episode 1896, When Your Child is Against You.
It's time to train for life and love your journey. In this episode of Create Your Now, Your Best Selfie, you'll learn new ways to rediscover, rejuvenate, and renew your mind, body, and spirit. Please welcome your host, certified life coach, personal trainer, and nutritionist, Christiane Wargo. Staring at a stop
sign, watching people drive. Happy, happy day. How are you hanging? Oh, come on. I know. Life is rough, but today I want you to take a big, deep breath. It is Friday, and that means you made it through the week. You have breath, which means you have the opportunity to have joy in your heart and to give it to your family. It's Confessions of an Upset Mama, When Your Child is Against You. For those of you who are brand new to Create You Now, welcome to this incredible family. I'm so delighted of your presence. If you already had the opportunity, you'll want to head on over to createyournow.com, where you can learn more and sign up for the Kisses newsletter, the Keep It Simple strategy, everyday solutions to live, love, and impact. Well, how many times do your children do exactly the opposite of what you want them to do? It doesn't seem fair when your child is against you. All you want is what's best. It might be suggesting a way to handle a situation or how to clean their room. No matter what you say, though, you are wrong and they are right. You know, pointing fingers as to who carries the right torch does not make either party, whether you're the parent or the child, superior to the other. Yes, the parent has the say-so. I'm so for that. I am a parent. But if the child is not compliant, where is that going to get you? I mean, let's use a little bit of common sense here. We get stuck in this vicious cycle. You want to be right and your child wants to be right. But what would happen if you changed your approach? What if you gave them the upper hand? I know, don't freak out on me. It is confession day. You can be mad, but I want you to hear me out. What if you did give them the upper hand without them knowing you really are the one who has the upper hand? Boy, sounds confusing, right? No, it's called reverse psychology. It sounds great. So let's do the opposite. But what does it look like in the real world with technological advancements to work against the goal? And then you got the children talking with their friends at school, getting on their computer, doing Google searches. And I guarantee you, they're Googling how to tell mom she's stupid. Okay, maybe not in those terms, but let's be real. Let's be frank. Our kids are getting information from sources that we don't want them getting information to, but they now have access to it. If your child can speak, they can get access. Now, they may not be able to read the whole thing, but nowadays you can almost just tell the computer to start reading for you and it does it. We have to be very, very careful as parents as to how we are raising our children. Are we giving them what they need to go out in the real world? Look today in your real world. Do you think you're doing what you need to do, raising your children up? It's a hard question, I know. At times, we probably think we're straight on awesome. But at other times, we're like, oh man, I so failed today. Oh yeah, there are days. I go to bed and I get up going, you're not that great of a mom today. You really screwed that one up. And I'm thinking, how am I going to get myself out of this situation? As much as we look at reverse psychology, it sounds great, but what does it mean to the practical sense of life? Because we do have the influences, right, of what, the friends at school or social media. We need to worry about Google. Just having access always to somebody else is kind of scary. And as much as you want to track it down, you can't always see what they're writing. You can't keep up with the ever-changing influences. At one point, you got them. At another point, they're ahead of the game. You do not want to play games with your children, unless if it's like soccer or baseball. That's all fun. Basketball, go for it. But not the game of life. Manipulation should not be a part of parent and child. You need to establish boundaries as to what you expect, especially when your child is against you. So the question remains, how are you going to do this? You have to build up before you tear down. That is your Kiss to Keep It Simple strategy. Build up before you tear down. Parents do one thing wrong all the time. Are you ready for this? I know you're just going to probably turn me off when you hear it, but we jump to conclusions. We jump to conclusions proclaiming that what is happening is wrong before even gaining an understanding of the situation or listening to the child's perspective. We just jump in. We're like, huh? I know I'm right and you are so wrong. Really? Do you know that? Oh, I've jumped before. And when I'm right, it's awesome. Man, that flight is amazing. But if I jump too soon and I think I'm right and I act like I know I'm 120% right, later to only find out I was 120% in the negative being wrong, boy, what do you lose there? You lose trust with your child. Have you ever asked yourself why your impulse is to blame your child? Why do you assume that your child is in the wrong? I didn't start asking myself those questions until my children started to get a little bit older. Now, I had 5 to practice on, so I got a lot of practice in. And a lot of people say, oh, wait, you have 1, so you can practice on that 1. And then 2 and 3 and 4, as they go down the line, they get better and better and better because you're getting better, right, at practicing. You're perfecting it, or at least you're making progress. You probably don't ever reach perfection, but you're getting it done. When I stopped long enough to ask myself the question, why is my impulse to blame my child? Does that say a lot about my faith and my trust and my belief in my child? No, honestly, it doesn't. Now, at times, oh yeah, I'm all for there's no questions asked. I'm 100% right. You are wrong, and we are not having a discussion. I get those situations. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about the everyday doing homework, clean your room, do your chores, pay attention to me. When I call you, you come the first time, not the 2nd, 3rd, 4th, or 5th, or when I yell is the only time. Have you noticed that? The next time you call your child to come to you, see if it's just your normal tone of voice or if it takes 2 or 3 times and then you get to this yell that's like, if you don't come, oh yeah, something's going down. We have to build up before we tear down. The problem is parents want control. And I'm one who, yeah, I like control. We all like control. Right now, we're feeling out of control in our world. All you have to do is turn on the news. You'll see it plastered all over the place. And so when you come into your 4 walls that you have, you want that control. You want to be able to say, you know what? In this house, this is how it goes down. Most of the time, you might be able to accomplish it, but at what cost? We have to exercise control. And the key to growing our relationship and earning the trust is in how we exercise that. How do you balance love, control, and being right? Well, let's break it down. 1, set intentional boundaries. This is just not any boundary. It's intentional boundaries. They are consistent. This gives you and the child the scope of the relationship, meaning what? Your expectations. This is what I expect from you, and this is what you can expect from me, and this is what I'm going to give you. It also gives you the stages of life, the scope of it. What are you, that season that you're in with you and your child? And then the growth pattern. You cannot talk to a 2-year-old like you talk to a 20-year-old. Now, at times, a 2-year-old may think that they're 20 years old, but they don't get it. The language is different. The experiences are different, and they just don't have the same knowledge base. So guess what? Their boundaries are going to be different. Your 2-year-old is probably going to go to bed at 7:30, maybe 8 o'clock. You're 20-year-old. You may not even be able to tell them when to go to bed. Or you may wish you could tell them because they're no longer living with you. And you're like, if I only had another year. So we have to figure out this balance, right? Of love, control, and being right. And it comes by setting these intentional boundaries, giving the scope of the relationship, the stages of life, and the growth pattern to both you and to your child. Now, you're not going to sit down and say, okay, Sue, let's talk about the scope of our relationship. They're going to look at you like you have no idea who you are. I don't care what you're saying. Can I just go play with my Legos? Can I go play with my Barbies? Or do we even do that anymore? Maybe that's me wishful thinking. You know, one of these days I will have grandchildren. And guess what? We're going to be playing with Legos and Barbies. Guarantee it. Yeah, there might be some technology involved, but not for a very long time. That would be me setting intentional boundaries. Come on over to Grandma's. But look what's going to happen. Oh yeah, we're going to do this together. We're going to play with Play-Doh. We're going to get our hands messy and dirty. We're going to go outside and have fun. We're going to get some intentional movement in. And then when you get older, maybe we'll talk about getting into technology. I'm not going to be one who's going to say, no, they can't have it. But you see, you've got to set the intentional boundaries for the stages of life that your child is in. So it's going to be different when they're a newborn, a two-year-old, a middle schooler, a high schooler, a college student, or maybe you've even had a child who has moved away and now they're coming back into your home. For whatever reason, doesn't matter. The reason does not matter. But those boundaries are going to change. Number two, flip the script. I love this one. This is so much fun. It does take some work though, and it does take practice, but it works. I know, I'm going to share a story with you. You want them to come up with the answers to their dilemmas. So you got to flip the script. If you have younger children, you can give them options and make it obvious what the right choice is. So you're leading them. But again, if they guess, let's say, the wrong answer, you can say, okay, great. So if you did this, what do you think might happen? Let them talk their way through it. Eventually, it will lead them to what? The right answer. And then guess what? Huh? They're winners. They knew it. They made the right choice. You can celebrate what they already knew. Wink, wink. But you're doing what? You're instilling confidence in them. And this works at all ages. Now, if you have older children, you can lead them by asking questions. If you have an adult children and they're having to make some major decisions, you can give them all the answers. Now it's different. If they ask you for advice, oh by golly, take advantage of the situation and just vomit all the advice you want on them. Give them the best of your knowledge. However, if they aren't and you know they've got some tough decisions and they kind of need to work it out, and honestly, they probably don't want to hear what you have to say, then you have to lead them by asking questions, which means, yeah, you have to think a little bit more because you can't just always give them different multiple choice answers and say, oh, well, if you did this, if you did this, and they're going to know this whole thing of like, well, what if you did this? Yeah, Mom, you're trying to make me do that. So yeah, I'm not doing that. Flip the script though. It does work. But the key is that you are making them what? They're full of knowledge. You're instilling confidence in them. You're giving them the energy that says, oh my gosh, I can actually do this. I got this. But you know what? You as the parent, you're like, oh, rock on. Go celebrate in your closet. It's all right. Go whoop, whoop, do the happy dance. I've done it before. I don't even go to my closet. I go to the pantry. I just close the door, except now our pantry light, because we've moved, when I close the door, the light goes off automatically. So I'm a little bit in the dark when that happens. So I got to tell you, I got to be careful because I might trip on the stool that's in there because I'm short and I got to climb all the way to this very, very tippy, tippy top of the shelves. Anyway, that's for another episode. Have fun though. You don't have to be the one who is right. Let them experience it. And when they experience it, oh, it leads you to what? Number three, let them win. You already know you're right. You already know this. You don't need to have that extra satisfaction that you know what you're talking about is true, is real. You don't need that extra, you know, check mark in your head going, I'm taking the tally. I won this battle. Next. That's not what parenting is. And in fact, if you think you're parenting that way, it's probably going to wear you down faster. It's really sad when I talk to moms and dads and they express to me how tired they are, but they don't know why they're tired. It has nothing to do with their physical being. They're not physically tired. I mean, yes, there's a lot of activities. They want to be lazy on some days. There's a little bit of tired there. But what they're tired about is their mental capacity to be able to continue to really win the game when it comes to knowledge. It is a game with children, but the children don't need to know that it's a game and you can't play it like it is a game, but you got to let them win. You already know that you're right. You already know that you are doing what is best for them. So let them feel the exhilaration. This puts and connects their heart and head together. When they feel this, oh man, this feeling is desirable. So they're going to want to do it again and again and again. And guess what you're doing? You're building not only their confidence, but their self-esteem. Whoa! Who would have thought that when your child is against you, you're actually on top? High five on confession day. It's not so bad. And as always, never parent without laughter. You got to have some laughter. So I told you I was going to share a story with you. This happened to my oldest son. And we were chit-chatting. He ordered some new soap and it was delivered. And literally, I'm telling you, this just happened. I think the soap was delivered, maybe it was yesterday. My days are running in with each other. So I'm not sure which day it exactly was. It really doesn't matter. But he's like, oh, and he got this out. And he's like, oh, I like this, but I'm not sure. I've heard stories that, you know, it's not really that great. I'm like, okay. Well, he made a few comments. And I said, oh, well, I know the CEO of this company who has great products if you're looking for something clean. And he goes, oh, no. I prefer smaller companies. I said, oh, well, I have this other CEO that runs a very small business. And he goes, oh, no, I like bigger companies. And I just had to laugh, right? It didn't matter what I was going to say. He did not want me to be the one who had the answer to what he was looking for. He wanted to be right. It wasn't that he was against me, even though, yeah, it kind of felt that way. But it was just this flip-flop thing. Now, we laughed about it. It was not a big deal. It was about soap, for goodness sakes. But guess what? It did give me a title to talk to you about when your child is against you. Because this happens every day. Soap, it's not a big deal, right? You can use it. You can donate it if you don't like it. But when you are building up a child's self-esteem, when you are building up their confidence, there is something much greater there than soap. You have a tough job. And that tough job is so worth the tears, the frustration, the love, and the laughter. When your child is against you, it's not the end of the world. I promise you that. You just have to change your outlook and perspective. You got this. Be present. Be incredible. Be you. I love you so very much. I cannot wait to see you on the other side. Blessings, hugs, and lots of love. We'll talk to you real soon. Have a glorious weekend. Stay healthy and be safe. Bye-bye.
Feeling inspired, ready to train for life and love your journey? Visit createyournow.com for more incredible resources to help you along the way. We'll see you next time on Create Your Now, Your Best Selfie. And remember, always be sure you consult your physician before beginning any health and fitness plan.